Welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, the Friday Mac show from the Bagel Tech Network, where we discuss all things Macintosh and Apple and iDevices and everything else we can lay our hands on that's even remotely related, because we need some news because it's been pretty quiet of the last few weeks. But this week, there's been a distinct pickup, which is very, very good. I'm joined by some of the usual suspects. Top left corner, we've got Mr. Don McAllister, fresh back from his Libyan lay-by. Squadron leader McAllister, how are you doing, mate?
I'm fine, Ewan. Yeah, it's nice to be back in the comfort of the studio rather than stuck in my car on a hot afternoon in Sheffield. So it's good to be back.
Well, there's no good afternoons in Sheffield, full stop, I would have thought. But
Now.
Okay, sorry, we've got any Sheffield listeners, but they wouldn't know how to operate a computer, so we're all right. Next to him, it's Kyle Swagger.
There's another town that doesn't listen to us anymore.
Mm. Well, we're slowly getting through the whole world. I could piss off everyone.
Just piss off Manila while you're at it.
Oh, that's done. Long ago. Okay.
You've lost 4 listeners.
So no earthquakes this week, mate?
No. We're all good this week. They've all been south of us. So, yeah.
There's been a few
jolly
around.
Good
there.
Around here.
It's like a thunderstorm rumbling around your islands.
It is, actually. I mean, we got it to the north. Japan's getting a lot of them, of course. And, yeah. Actually, all this week, it's all been around us, except here in the metro. And we've got a volcano 45 miles south of us that wants to erupt pretty soon, too.
So your neck of the woods has been renamed Little Pompeii.
Suits me fine.
Yeah, it will do in a few weeks.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Below him, we've got Mr. Andy Anatko coming back again. How you doing, mate?
I'm steady on. It's eight in the morning here, which is...
Sorry.
I try to stay clear of the hours of the morning that have single digits to them, at least post. 4 a.m. I'm okay with, 8 a.m. a little bit shaky, but that's okay. I'm carrying on.
No, I did play golf with a guy once, and I used to say to him, I'll book the tea time for 8 o'clock. And he said, won't that be a bit late? It'll be getting dark. No, there's 2 of those in one day, mate. Don't worry.
You mean we're going to golf for 12 hours? Okay, I can do 36.
The final person who's joining our panel, who's still videoless, unfortunately, but is working on it, Mr. Will Green from the British Mac Show. Hello, mate.
Hello.
How's things been? How's the dog?
How's the dog?
Sitting on the sofa.
it's not too bad. I'm sure Cary Grant doesn't wander down his stairs and clean up pee and poo. He's probably...
Well, he's dead, so no.
Well, I know, but you know, it never happened to him. He'd be out there on the veranda sipping iced tomato juice out of a glass and all that. Long cigarette holder. I should be doing that. I should not be up at 7 o'clock with the doodah, the bucket and mop cleaning up pee and poo. But other than that, it's going. It's not been brilliant. The studio got broken into again yesterday.
Oh no!
What? Yeah, I know. whatever I had left, they've cleaned out now. So I've lost a bit more stuff. So there it is. So it's. I've had good times and bad times.
Right, mate. Well, whatever you need, I've got bits of stuff kicking around here. You're more than welcome to. I'll drive them over.
Well, what upset me? Well, you know, thank you, but they had all my retro collection, so all my Newtons and E-mates and stuff all went, which upset me because I mean that sort of stuff. It's not worth any money, but it might be a little bit, but you know, it's like I loved it. I love retro, and they've taken it all.
Bad luck, mate. Sorry to hear that. That's devastating. If you're the person that's stolen his stuff, then I hope you fester and die.
Well, I'm not bitter about it this time, and I wasn't going to mention it, but I'm not bitter about it this time. I'm just sort of cracking on.
How's the hangover from last weekend? Because you went on a stag party, didn't you?
Oh, a bachelor Christ, it was party a bad weekend. One. No, it wasn't a stag party. It was like a yearly camping trip that we go on to Shell Island. It's like a rite of spring. It's a gentleman's weekend.
You mean the strippers?
And it just involves poker and booze, really. And I think I'm probably too old for it now.
You were saying that on Tuesday you still had the hangover.
Oh, it did. Honestly, it lasted 2 days. You know when you get that like thumping thing behind the right hand eye, and on the Sunday I couldn't do anything pretty much.
It's being
and the Monday
40.
I was getting better.
Being 40, mate, that's what does it to you.
I'm not 40 yet.
Yeah. Life begins to end at 40. Nothing
is
more.
That what, yeah,
yeah, absolutely. The week in Apple news. There's been an awful lot this week. We've got the AirPlay Key was released. Whether that's unfortunate or not, I don't know. Final Cut Pro has been announced as well. We've all been waiting on that one, and there could be an awful lot of stuff that could be really cool. We're expecting severe review from Mr. McAllister on this one. We've had the Woz says he's open to a return back to Apple. No official word from Apple on that one, though. And there's also been a release of, what's this, Crimes Against Chastity in Massachusetts. I made a note to ask you about this one, Andy. There was a story today about putting up pictures of underage children because they've taken pictures of themselves with their iPhones and that kind of stuff. And there was a bit of Massachusetts law that was listed that was said that there was a crime against chastity, which I found very interesting.
you do realize that we are still a Puritan fishing colony. I believe it's only recently that it became legal to sell running shoes to women. It's always fun when you realize that, oh wait, that's still illegal. Okay, but see, you realize what kind of a problem it creates for legislators, though, because let's say that there are things that you know. That a husband and wife, or even two men or two women, like to do in the privacy of their own bedroom, and it turns out that that's that thing that they enjoy doing so much turns out to be illegal based on like a 1783 law. Now nobody,
but it wasn't even invented.
Everybody agrees it's a silly law. Nobody's going to enforce this law. But you're going to ask that legislator to say, "Yes, I believe." I'm to stand in front of the legislature and say, "I believe that it should be legal." Do we have the explicit tag?
Yeah, no, we won't say it. Don't worry.
Okay. Imagine something that would be like if this were on the porn tape, you'd fast forward to that thing right there. You can't expect a legislator to basically go on camera and say, "I'm very much pro this activity. I think people should be doing more of this activity, and so I want to expand the powers of the legislature to allow people to do this activity." It's not something that a legislator is going to really get behind.
No,
he'd much rather be on record as supporting school lunches and more benefits to seniors.
So should we start off with then Final Cut Pro, because I mean that's a pretty big release. It's been rebuilt from the ground up, unquote. Nothing has remained, and everything has changed. There will be significantly more available to you to do, and there's something about a magnetic timeline as well, which sounded very interesting and a bit Doctor Who-ish as well, it has to be said. But so what's the first perceptions, if you like, then of the new Final Cut? Has anyone seen anything, read any reviews?
No, I haven't read any reviews. I just wonder if everything I have now is still going to work with it since it's built from the ground up again.
Yeah, it won't run on power PCs, I don't think, mate, no.
You know, every time they do these kind of things, it always makes you wonder, what's the compatibility issue? We're going to have driver issues, all these things. Hopefully, Apple has not done that to us.
No.
I did actually watch, although I wasn't there, because it was in Las Vegas and it's a bit far for me to travel, but I actually did see there's two videos been posted on the web, which basically covers the whole presentation. And it's very interesting. As you say, they have built it from the ground up. They've rewritten it in Cocoa, and it's now a full 64-bit application. And they were at great pains to stress that it will actually really work well right across the range of Mac platforms now. So whether or not you want to run it on your MacBook or if you want to run it on the Mac Pro, you know, you'll get tons of performance from it. But loads of new features and some. What they've really done is sort of reimagined how video editing should be. I think they've taken or they've experimented a lot with iMovie, and they've brought some of the bits of iMovie across. But they've sort of reworked other elements, and it's quite a significant upgrade. I was a bit concerned really because I didn't think they'd go too far because it is it's a workhorse for many people. You know, the video editing community were really concerned that they might completely change things, and all the work they put in and all the muscle memory that they trained over the years would go to waste because, you know, this new application. But it seemed to have a fairly mixed response from that particular community, and of course it's open to more people now because they're going to sell it on the Mac App Store. And they're going to price it at $299, so it's going to make it available to not just the top end video producers, but you know, prosumers and even if someone wants something over and above iMovie, it's not a stretch to go to $299 and get the full Final Cut Pro.
My first, go ahead, Will.
Sorry. I was going to say, do you remember, Donna? It was about a month or two ago we were chatting about this, and I said, no, they'll never sell Final Cut or Logic on the App Store, and you said, yes, they will, and there we are. You see. Mm-hmm. I reckon you can be smug at this point.
That's what you get for not reading the news, bro. What Mac? What App Store? I always see the thing with Final Cut that I always got with it was even in the Final Cut Express, I never found the UI to be that out of the box intuitive. Whereas if you look at iMovie, with very little you can get started. With Final Cut, if you were a newbie to video, even with the Express version, it really was, it was a geek's application. It, you know, you had to know what you were doing before you started. You couldn't just pick it up and play with it. Or, you know, even reading it with a manual was a pain in the butt. Is the community of pros really more worried that Apple are trying to pander to the consumer market and then leaving them behind?
I think it's been a struggle for Apple as it is to get Final Cut into sort of professional video and filmmaking establishments anyway. I mean, it's still all Avid. And I shouldn't say this, but I don't know, Final Cut, it hasn't quite got there for me. Even now, it's still like the poor sibling, one-legged gun, sorry.
In what way?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's I used to train people in it, and so I know it and I like it. But sort of chatting to professionals in the, sort of that field, it's still looked down upon for some reason. I'm not too sure why. Maybe it's historical, maybe it's being snobbish. Who can tell? But it's still not there. And the same, to a certain extent, with Logic as well. It's not... I don't know what it is for that sort of... The high level, the top level, they haven't quite got it right.
Hmm.
So, Will, you're saying if they just named it Final Cut, you'd be all right, but sticking the Pro on there just gone way too far.
That's the problem, isn't it?
I think what's happened, I'd be interested to hear Andy's thoughts on it as well, but I think what I think's happened is that they've taken 2 or 3 years out and said, you know, we're going to rebuild this from scratch because it really is lagging behind. I mean, I don't know many of the other video applications. I've not really used them in any depth, but seeing all the new features that Apple have announced, I've seen lots of people say, well, actually, the new features to Final Cut Pro, but they're actually just catching up to some of the other video production tools that are out there. Although they have done this complete rewrite of Final Cut Pro, they are really catching up to some of the others and leapfrogging some of the others in other aspects. But the difficulty is, it still wasn't a finished product, which is a bit weird because they were saying it's still only they're still working on it because this was a sneak peek that was wasn't the official launch. It was very much a sneak peek, so they've still got some work to do on it. But it looked fairly polished from where I was watching, to be honest.
Andy, have you got?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, Andy, have you got any comments on that? Yeah.
I think Don was sort of hit it on the head when he was talking about the prosumer market, that there's still, I'm not an expert on video production, but it seems as though every time that I walk past an editing suite that's doing real broadcast stuff, actual film stuff, they are still switch over to edit to Avid because that's where all the training is. Every time that I see something that's more of a in-house production, it's always going to be Final Cut. So my impression when I was looking at the changes to Final Cut were that they were simply saying, let's pretend that we're not going to get Steven Spielberg to do the next $80 billion epic on Final Cut Pro. Let's keep happy the people who are going to be spending $300 for a very, very finely tuned professional app that's somewhat short of the Avid. Also, I think that Apple institutionally just has a problem with an app that they haven't really reevaluated for a number of years, and I think that Final Cut is probably the last major app that they have released that really still has its Mac OS 9 interface intact.
Mm. There's a comment in the chat room from Mark Shepard saying the new core app was demoed. Only the new core app was demoed. There's lots of accompanying apps that are coming in the suite. So, I mean, is this the core app is going to be $299, and there's going to be a lot of plugins or add-ons that are going to come in separately afterwards, perhaps?
Well, possibly. I mean, one of the things they used to sell as part of the suite was Color, and they've actually now pulled that into Final Cut Pro. So it looks as though Color will actually go. But all the color corrections, and again, people have complained that to do color correction in Final Cut Pro, you have to sort of export out of Final Cut into another application and back in again, whereas now it's integrated within the package. So, but no mention of motion, no mention of compressor, but I would imagine, again, like compressor is probably going to be built into it. We don't know. There's a question in the chat room about Final Cut Express. That's gone. They're not actually going to be promoting, there is no Final Cut Express anymore. There's just going to be iMovie and Final Cut Pro. And sort of the people who normally would have gone after Final Cut Express will now go for Final Cut Pro. So that's quite a big change as well.
Well, Final Cut Express has kind of been superseded by iMovie because, I mean, I know there was a lot more you could do with it, but at the consumer end of the market at I think it was £40-ish, something like that. iMovie was doing enough for most people at that level. So, you know, Final Cut Express probably pushed itself out of the market, but it was squeezed by both ends, really. Mm-hmm. And I think what's the current iteration, like seven or 8 years old? Not that much, probably five, six.
Yeah.
Sorry, Andy, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I was disappointed by that because I thought that Final Cut Express was a really good bridge product because there are people who want to do certain effects that are willing to spend a little bit of money for that and willing to go through a certain learning curve that really want to take their video editing to the next level. As good as iMovie is, there's still many points in when I'm doing my little 10-minute videos, when I realize that, oh, God, I really wish I could do a split screen here. God, I really wish I could just do an inset just for 5 seconds right here. But that's the sort of thing I would need Final Cut Express for. And it's just too bad that we don't have that sort of when you're a good enough editor that you're what you want to do exceeds what iMovie can do. You used to have this little one step up so you could start to move towards something more professional. And then when you start getting really good at Final Cut Express, that's when you start popping for Final Cut Pro. And one of the things I always like about Apple products in general is that it really doesn't put a cap to your ambitions. And so now I think that transitionary step is now gone. Now that the Final Cut Pro is so much less expensive, maybe it just became less necessary to have a less expensive version of it, but still... I really wish that they either beef up iMovie or give me some sort of a transition to the Pro Tool.
So price-wise, there's a huge step up there from zero, effectively, with iMovie up to $299 with the other one, yeah? Sorry, Kyle.
I agree. I was going to say, I agree with that, and I think that the reason why we're seeing that is the fact of the Mac App Store. The $299 price is too attractive now to ignore the Pro version. And I probably, you know, for prosumer... confusing, that's the direction they want to go in, and then there is iMovie. But I completely agree with what Andy's saying. It would be nice to have that nice little comfort zone that, hey, look, I'm not quite there yet for Pro. I don't know all the bells and whistles, and iMovie doesn't do it for me. You know, where's the medium at? And they have gotten rid of that, but probably because of the Mac App Store.
How many people are we squeezing out there, though? I mean, I get what you're saying, Andy, because I had Final Cut Express as well. And when I first got it, I went and had some one-to-one lessons at the Apple Store with Will and with Tom Lewis, who were in there. Tom Lewis was just the best with that and Motion. And I got to a certain level with it, but there was a certain point where actually, you know, it's too hard to pick up if you haven't used it for a while. It's definitely like a bike riding experience for me. How many of us are out there that are really going to be upset by this, do you think?
Well, you just lost two monitors.
I think about the people who might get upset that they can't make the transition from, let's say, Acorn up to Photoshop. It's such a valuable thing that there's such a thing as Photoshop Express, where if you want to start to sample what's the difference between the $600 app and this $30 app that I've downloaded as shareware, I don't believe that there's going to be millions and millions of people that are going to be put out by this, but I really think that the Express version demonstrated that there are people whose skill level are a little bit higher. And I had the exact same problems that you had when I first loaded up Final Cut Express. It was okay. How much time am I going to spend trying to figure out how to do a transition from one shot to another? I think I'm spending too much time on this. But as soon as I just start playing with the videos that are on Apple's own site, it really is just a one-hour aha moment. Say, oh, I'm still trying to edit as though I were using iMovie. I have to understand the concept of there are multiple video tracks and that the video screen is actually a palette or a canvas that I can dump anything I want to onto. And that's really the difference. It's not so much a set of features. It's the idea that you have an active canvas you can put anything onto. So I hope that there is still some sort of a bridge between those two apps, because I think it's quite necessary.
I think it's worth pointing out, though, that the difference between Final Cut Express and Final Cut Pro, the current versions, isn't ease of use. Final Cut Express, I would say, is just as hard to use as Final Cut Pro. Mm. It's the same user interface. It's the same architecture. The difference is the number of features and the number of facilities that's included in Express is a subset of those that are included in Final Cut Pro. So if you learn Final Cut Express, it's very easy to go to Pro because to get the extra features because it's the same UI. Now, with the new version of Final Cut Pro, Final Cut Pro X, all the features are there. So, you know, you don't necessarily need to use all the features, but if you do want to go to the next level, the features are actually in the package. So there's no intermediate, but in some respects, You're not really losing out because you're actually gaining because there's no additional learning curve to go from Express to Pro. You've got to learn it anyway, but you get all the features at a reduced price. So, I mean, I don't know how much Express was. I think it was about around 179 quid, something like that, for Express. But no, you can now get Pro for the same price, literally. You know, it's $299.
Yeah, true, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, I don't remember paying that much. I thought I maybe paid about 70 quid.
Was it? Will, do you remember? I've not used Express.
I think it was about 89 quid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
More, cheaper than I thought then.
So,
I think it was
good question.
I think it was
Andy. Sorry, Andy, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I believe in the US it was about 179, something like that.
Perhaps that's where I got
dollars. Yeah, so it was around the 180 quid, 100 quid mark. Mm-hmm. Good point from Alex in the chat room. Why don't they do what they've done with Aperture 3 then, and just throw Final Cut Express into the App Store as a well? Let's make what we can off it while we still can.
Well, again, you know, the people who are going to go, who would have gone for Express, it's just an extra stretch to go for Pro, and they're going to make more money. So, you know, why if they're going to reduce the price of the app in the App Store, why give them a cheaper option? Why not go for broke and try and get everyone who would have gone for Express to go for the Pro version? It's going to exclude some people, but not that many, I don't think.
When we talk about the Pro apps then, one of the interesting things this week was that Adobe 5.5 came out, and you'd be happy here, Kyle, because it's got Audition for Mac in it, which has replaced the old sound system stuff that was in there. I can't remember the name of the application. But they've gone to a subscription model now. With the Pro End apps, is this something that's got to be an essential feature? And if you take the Final Cut Pro X example at $299, you start looking at some of the Pro apps that are in the Creative Suite now within Adobe. Are Apple undercutting Adobe effectively in that? I know they're doing different things, but you know the price of Pro apps is clearly coming down, and is Adobe a bit of a dinosaur in that?
Well, it's just like old media, new media in a different realm. I mean, Apple is changing the way we buy products, period. They changed the way we did it on the iPhone. They're changing it the way now we do through the Mac store. I've always seen it that if I'm buying something digitally, if I don't go to the store, if it's not taking up space on the shelf, if I don't have the box with it, if I don't hold anything physical in my hand, I firmly believe it should cost less. That's why I believe music should cost less from going in buying a CD, although I may rather have the CD. But if I have a cheaper option and it's enticing enough for me to go there, I'm going to go there. I think that's where we're getting at now. And to me, by Adobe still trying to hang on, it's like the music industry still trying to hang on to something that's just, it's just not there anymore.
Anyone else?
Yeah, well, the thing that always irritates me is that these Pro apps, you know, the Pro users are seen as very elitist, and they do it to themselves as well. They quite like the fact that a Pro app is, you know, it's five times the price of a consumer app, and they see that as some sort of, well, one, as a barrier to, you know, normal people actually getting in and learning how to use the application. And I've even heard people complaining about Final Cut Pro 10 that, you know, they will lose their exclusivity because it's going to be easier for other people to actually do video editing. And I'm completely opposed to that. I mean, it's just a tool at the end of the day. And, you know, this sort of snobbishness that people have about it being a Pro app and versus a consumer app is really bad, really. And, you know, as many people that can, because in the end, it is a tool. If you're a good editor, you'll just make good use of that tool and you produce quality work. You know, what they're trying to do is make the Pro tools more accessible to more people and make them easier to use. It's not going to say that all the editing profession are now going to be out of a job because, you know, everyone's going to be able to be an editor. Well, painfully, they're not. You know, it's just really, I think Apple's approach is fairer in that they're enabling more people to use the application, giving more people a chance, but still the skilled people will still have a fantastic tool that they can use and, you know, sort of create their words with no real worries, to be honest.
Is there going to be a difference then? Is there going to be like Final Cut Studio and Final Cut Pro, and so you can buy Final Cut Pro on its own? Or you can spend the extra and get Final Cut Studio to get, you know, all the other, well, not color, but the other stuff.
I think they're going down the unbundling route so that each application will be a separate. And again, which is another good thing, because when I bought Studio, I mean, I've never used color. I don't really use the sound application that's in there. I only really use Final Cut Pro, Motion, and Compressor. So if they're priced reasonably, I'd just go and buy those three applications.
I mean, the interesting thing with the price as well on the Adobe stuff is that the top range for the CS suite itself is something like $2,500. but they're talking at like $200 a month if you want to subscribe to it.
I hate subscription modules. I hate that way of doing. I don't know why. I just hate that way of doing business when it comes to these kind of things. I mean, Adobe's been into the business long enough. They're basically rebuilding the same product they've been putting out for what? How many years now?
Well, and that's always been the big thing. I mean, if you look at the Photoshop leap from CS2 to CS4, it's negligible. CS5, there was a leap ahead with the content-aware delete and that kind of stuff and a lot of other features under the hood. I can't believe that 5.5 is worth any kind of upgrade for me from 5.
Well, it's like Adobe Audition. I mean, it's a great piece of software, but I still feel under the hood it's still cool Edit Pro.
Yeah. So no takers there then. I'm not impressed yet. Jolly good.
No, Adobe's got to. They've got to stop feeling so proud of themselves and start realizing that we don't go to Best Buy anymore to buy their products.
Do we want to talk about the white iPhone today?
Oh, is it on again?
Fed up with this white iPhone. It's been, the iPhone 5 is going to be out before the white iPhone 4, isn't it?
Well, I think anyone who buys a white iPhone 4 is going to get it, and then the following day they're going to announce iPhone 5. I mean, is this a unicorn, or is it really actually going to come?
According to the Wall Street Journal, it's the real deal. So but they've been wrong in the past, so I don't know if that's, well, if that's solid or not.
This is with no official nod from Apple whatsoever. Now, I don't want you to put you on the spot here, Andy. But do you know anything? Just say yes or no, but don't tell us what it is.
I don't know anything.
Right, okay, good man.
It's it's hysterically funny. It's sort of like seeing like the most impeccably dressed person with just one like flick of dandruff on their shoulder. That's the white iPhone for Apple, because they always do everything so well and they never have these really embarrassing things. I'm testing out an Android phone right now where every like minute and a half to 5 minutes there is a major error that makes me have to dismiss an error dialog box. And this isn't pre-release. This is shipping product. That's the sort of thing you expect from these developers. You would expect HTC or Samsung or other companies to come up with, well, I know that we said that we were going to have a camera, but it turns out we manufactured 500,000 of them with the lens pointing the wrong way, so we're going to have to delay that. It's white. They can't do white. They can't do a white phone.
Oh. It's going to have huge status symbol when it does come out. I mean, to have one, it'd be like you know, the black credit card. If you've got a black credit card, it's like a massive. So, okay, yeah, baby, I got a white iPhone 4. Look at it.
Do you think that's
iPhone 5?
Now people have forgotten all about this. And if you pull out a white iPhone, someone's going to say, what happened to your phone?
Well, they'll think you've got one of those cheap Chinese covers that you can get. You know, they go, oh, God.
Put it you couldn't afford a real iPhone, so you bought them. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. It's a fine, fine Android 1.6 phone. It almost looks like an iPhone. It's great.
Comment in the chat room suggesting that the only way to get a white iPhone is with liquid paper.
I was checking out the new iPad 2 with the white bezel the other day, and I'm sure it's just one of those things, but the screen looks a lot smaller to me. Maybe I'm on my own, but with the white bezel, it just makes the screen look smaller. Maybe when you've got the black bezel, the screen sort of becomes part of the bezel. I'm not too sure. I'm on my own with that one.
No, I think
black is thinning.
Go ahead, Andy.
I'm sorry. It's hard when I can't see you, so I don't know. Oh, someone else is talking. I'm sorry. I think you're absolutely right. I also think that when you put the white frame around the iPad, it really does change it, because you're supposed, the whole point of the iPad is that you're not supposed to notice you're holding a device at all. You're supposed to notice that you're holding a piece of software. And so this, I find the white frame distracting.
It does look kind of weak.
I'm still alone.
It looks very
in
1977.
I'm still alone here. I'm the only one still. Out of how many weeks the iPad 2's been out in the white? I'm still the only one that wants a white one. So I'm almost now for sure guaranteed to get one.
I think it looks like the old iMac screen.
Yeah.
Remember the old iMac? Mm. The original iMac? Yeah. It kind of looks, just to prove a point, because I went somewhere yesterday. 50 quid. I'm happy as Larry. I've got my original white iMac. Whee. There we go. So that's going on in the collection. If you need to borrow it, Will, let me know.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. You know, I tell you what, that made me laugh. They came in and they took like pretty much anything that had an Apple symbol on, they took it. And they took No, it's not Mac Pro. What do they call them? Power Mac G4. They took a Power Mac G4. Well, good luck with that, chaps.
I've got one of them upstairs. Yeah. They're about 60 quid, aren't they?
I know. I thought, well, I don't know what you're going to do with that little beauty, but have fun.
No, definitely. Muppets, hate you to bits. Apple have done a few things in kind of separation in the last few weeks. We had the Amazon Cloud Player that we talked about the last time you were on, Andy. And now Apple have since bought themselves 12 petabytes of online storage or data center storage for what they say is iTunes video. Apple are also looking for a cloud software engineer at the moment, and they've just hired the data center manager away from Microsoft. If we're going to join the dots there, are we going to put it all together and get something that's completely and utterly wrong, or are we seeing the slow build-up to a greater cloud presence and a competition for the Amazon thing within Apple?
Definitely. But the fact that we're seeing job postings for those kind of positions means that I think that we're looking at 2012 for the big drop as opposed to 2011. We might see the next version of their cloud computing in 2011, just a simple enhancement of, oh, and by the way, we'll give you 4 gigabytes we'll give you an online iPod shuffle for your content. That'll be sort of an incremental thing. But I really do think at this point that all the signs are there that they're not just going to say, we're going to give you a flash drive with music on it, that they're trying to create a real bridge between all their mobile stuff and all their desktop stuff and all their notebook stuff, and make sure that there is a real tight and intimate connection between all of your data and all of your computing experiences. Because this is not just kids throwing rocks at Windows. This is like a million space shuttle launches in 1 year, each one with a top secret payload. You got to imagine what they're trying to build up there and exactly what happens when the whole system goes active.
Are we thinking that Uncle Steve stepped in here and said, you know, come on, guys, calm down. We know it's happened. We know we're going towards it, but we're not going to rush this out and get it wrong. We're going to do it right first time.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if there was something in between, because they have all of this firepower and they're not visibly using it yet. Also, I think that they're going to start to feel a lot more pressure from Amazon, particularly as they're trying to sell more software, more music and more video. But yeah, their strength has always been not the obvious incremental feature, but the revolution. And you look at every single product they've had that has revolutionized the entire industry. You take a look at the Mac, you take a look at the iPod, you take a look at the iPhone, the iPad. None of these were just simple, oh, well, we added a touchpad to the original iPod and added a phone chip. No, they created something absolutely brand new that required 2 or 3 years worth of infrastructure, not just to add that touchpad, but to add an entire application platform to it. I think that's what we're going to see. And like I said, I think it's not going to be till 2012 until they finally start to take the wraps off of what they're buying all this storage for and hiring all these people for.
I think there'll be an in-between. I agree with Andy on that. I think the in-between is going to be iTunes. I think the in-between is going to be iTunes. It's going to be streaming content. This whole thing that I keep hearing about over and over and over again, I believe is going to happen before Christmas this year, whenever they have their iTunes, new launch of iPods, September. And these kind of things. September, yeah.
Yeah, there's also a rumor that September is when it's been taken over by iPhone 5, which I don't see.
Next year, iPhone 5, so I've been told.
Yeah.
I always think of monkey when I hear the phrase on the cloud.
And for those that don't remember, Monkey was a TV show that was on BBC Two on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Well, that's a memory.
Yeah, no, I used to watch. I was a lover, an absolute lover. Oh, Monkey! The Nature of Monkey was irrepressible. And irrepressible on a Japanese TV show, never translated properly, for obvious reasons. But I was Pigsy. All of those, they were classic characters. If you Google Monkey, and you're going to have to get BBC in there as well, perhaps, or TV show or something. But he had a big staff that used to change into something else, and there was a pig in it who was a bloke who wasn't. And then there was another one that I couldn't work out what monster he was. But he flew around on a cloud. There we go. That's why Monkey reminds you of cloud. Tripitaka. That was the monk, wasn't it? Is that right?
I can't remember. The pig thing was horrible.
Tripitaka. Yeah, the pig was bad. Pigsy.
Pigsy.
Oh, Pigsy.
Evil he was. He's probably a very nice chap, actually, offset, you know.
I'm sure, exactly. Well, he's got to be nearly 70 now as well, because we were talking about, I was watching it when I was 12, so. We've also got a carbon fibre guru who's supposedly going to be taken on. They're looking for a carbon fibre guru. Are we going to see a unibody carbon fibre portable device?
I'm sure eventually we will. Yeah, in fact, I think they've already got the carbon fibre chap in, isn't he? He's been doing. I think they've actually already put a patent out for one of the frames of one of the bits of kit that they've done in carbon fibre. I think, and I'm going to just backtrack slightly, in that I think these hires that people talk about, I don't think they're done to put people off the scent, but I don't think they have that much strategic importance to Apple. So, you know, going back to the cloud thing, I think I'd have to disagree with Andy slightly here, and I think it will happen this year, and those new appointments are just sort of continuation. In fact, I think if I'm correct in thinking, I think the original data center manager, or one of the high up people in the data center, actually unfortunately passed away at the end of last year, so that might just be a replacement for him. But right. I can't really see them leaving it for another 12 months before they move ahead with their cloud strategy. I mean, the data center has been in place for since the end of the year, and you know they've ordered all this storage. So I hope we'll see something a bit sooner rather than later. But the carbon fiber thing, I don't know. They're saying the carbon fiber is going to help them to do Wi-Fi syncing. Well, we can sync our devices with other applications using Wi-Fi now. We don't necessarily need to have a carbon fiber body to do that. I mean, they work on Wi-Fi, so a bit of a red herring, I think. Although I'm sure we will see carbon fiber devices in the not too distant future, just to get the weight down and the size down, if anything else.
Well, if Apple have got a job for people just to throw media off the scent, I'm available. Absolutely.
Well, it's not that I don't think that they're going to do anything with cloud services in 2011. I think that there's going to be a big revolutionary thing that nobody saw coming, and that's mm-hmm. coming in 2012. As I said, I'd be thinking more in 2011. I'd be thinking more in terms of iPod Shuffle on the cloud than. But then the reason why, you know what, I know I just bought a new MacBook a year and a half ago, but I'm buying a brand new one if it's what I need to do in order to support this new feature. I think that's the sort of thing that could be coming in 2012. But the carbon fiber expert, that's when you talk about people who are really good at materials, you're not necessarily talking about people who might be hired for a specific project, but people that they just want to have in the stable so that when they start to play with new ideas, when there comes to be the idea of, we really want to build a new MacBook Air that looks like this or that has this sort of profile. There's no way to do it using the materials using the techniques we already know. If only we had somebody who's experienced in this other material process who could at least like look into this and figure out if it could be done. Not necessarily to build an actual product that will be made, you know, 100,000, a million copies of, but just to get into the shop to be the guy who knows all about this material. So it could be it's one of those hiring things that doesn't really point necessarily to a specific product, but to a general direction, maybe.
Alchemist is the next one that's going to be out there. Apple looking for alchemist.
Is there any limit to like what we will like start to scrutinize? It started off that we would look at like actual product lines. Then we started like really saying anything that they patent, we have to start to take this apart. Now any ad they post to Craigslist, like they say, Apple cafeteria ladies are looking for people who know how to process beets. Okay, now there's a lot of carotenin in beets, which means that I bet there are a lot of people who need good eyesight at Apple, which means that they can't have bright lights in the office, which means that they're probably, for heaven's sakes, maybe they just, again, like you said earlier, maybe like the guy that they used to have on staff who did that left to raise a family. Now they need a new guy.
Dude, I gotta say, you want to be me sitting here on a Thursday thinking, what the hell are we going to talk for an hour about tomorrow? Then you'll start thinking that, and you know, applications for canteen jobs really have some significance.
Well, is it not okay to simply say, I'm going to throw out a question to the panel: who really likes pie? You know, a nice cherry pie with ice cream on the top. Let's go around the panel. Who likes pie?
That'll do. Well, it was National Pie Week here, or National Pie Day, something last week.
Why are we burying that?
Has
the National Cake Council bought you out? Is that how they got your silence?
The cake versus pie thing. It's been going on for millennia.
Yeah, it's funny. Andy brings up something. He said this big thing in 2012. He might be right, and the only thing that's coming to mind now, we're talking about cloud, we're talking about storage, is Apple going to pull a fast one on all of us and do something that Google's already doing with Chrome OS?
You think there's going to be a web-based OS?
It's a possibility because we've got so many devices. You've got the iPad, you've got the iPhone, you've got an integration now with a Mac store, and who knows what else they're going to bring over to that platform. Could we be talking about this whole maybe Air is where the Air sync comes from? I don't know. My own mind, when Andy said that, my mind is going a million miles a second. And the only thing that came into my head then was Apple does Chrome OS.
Well, you can't blame them for the runaway success the Chrome OS has been. I don't see
point.
That. I think they have some of the best web apps out there. The Mobile Me Mail app is just incredible. But I don't see them creating an OS where that makes it less important for people to buy Mac hardware and iOS hardware.
Talking to Mobile Me, does anyone know whether it's changing its price structure or anything? Because mine's expired, and I'm putting off renewing it in case there's a price change.
I'm sure if there is, they'll give you a refund or something. They're pretty good like that, Apple, aren't they?
Really? I had a renewal note through for my family membership in a couple of months, and it's £89. So yeah. I don't know if that sounds about round about the same.
I renewed mine. Is it 59 or 69? I can't remember. I only renewed it yesterday or something. Yesterday? I can't remember because you put it. It does auto renew, doesn't it? You just type in your credit card and it renews on the date that it's And there was, I don't know. There's the rumors about it's going to be free and fa la la. It might. I mean, they might. I tell you what. I noticed. I set up a new iPhone 4 yesterday, and as I was doing it, it came up and said, "Find my iPhone. Why didn't you do this? It's free." Which I'd never seen before. Is that because I always thought you had to, the only way you could get that was through Mobile Me, which costs. So is that something that I've not seen before? Or
I could admit I thought that as well.
No, they did bring that out. Can't remember when it was now. It was a couple of months ago now though. But they did allow you to. It's not necessary to. I think you need to have an Apple ID. But everyone's got one of those anyway. But you don't need a Mobile Me account now to use the Find My iPhone feature.
I didn't know. Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Is my Mobile Me or Mac.com address, I can't pick my email up anymore on it. And the only thing I ever used it for was synchronising Canada, synchronising contacts, and that's disappeared as well now. So I can't get my email, I can't synchronise both of those. And I thought that was supposed to continue, which would mean that it would be a waste of time me renewing because I get nothing else from it. I didn't care about the storage or anything like that. But £79 for that's a lot of money. £69, whatever it is.
I've been told that you can get it cheaper if you get it through Amazon, can't you? If you get it, if you buy it through Amazon, you save £10 or £20, don't you?
All right, okay. Might have to renew. Going back to you saying about the tethering stuff and the Wi-Fi stuff, I mean, I've got a problem at the moment. My iPad is not taking a charge at all. I am 30-odd percent away from it just becoming a Frisbee.
Well, you've got a couple of days then, so that's okay.
So I've got I'm going to go up to the Apple store this afternoon in Solihull and get this looked at. So if you're in Solihull, I'll buy you a coffee. But I'm not the only person. There's a lot of people who've got this problem with their iOS devices after 4.3.1. They just will not recognise. And the thing is as well that's really stupid. This is here. The computer I sync it with is here, just in front of me. But the cable's not working. But surely, it's so low tech, surely. Come on. There's got to be a way, Apple, of getting this to talk to this when it's 2 feet away without a cable.
I think one of the things that the only reason I can see that Apple still, or two reasons why I think Apple still insist on this tethering. One is for the transfer of data. You know, if you're going to push across a huge video or music library across your iOS device, you ideally want to do that over a cable. So that's much more quicker, much more efficient. But also the backup thing. I think Apple forces us to use the cable because every time that we sync with our iTunes, it actually backs the machine up. And I'm sure that saved a lot of people a lot of problems in, you know, when they have had issues and they've had to rebuild their iPhone or even pushing, you know, software updates to it. It's much more reliable to use a tethered connection than it is to use a Wi-Fi connection. So they're the only reasons I can see at the minute why they do still insist on having a tethered option.
Well, also, it's kind of a subtle point how to actually implement this well. Google I just set up a brand new Google tablet yesterday that I'm going to be reviewing, and that does everything sync. Excuse me, sync over the air. And it has the plus side in that after turning it on and going through the 8 or 9 steps to set it up, instantly all the apps that I had downloaded through the Android App Store had installed. It was set up for my email. It was set up for all that sort of stuff. And that's good because you have a perfectly functional thing without ever having to take it near a computer. The bad thing, though, is that I was actually kind of pissed off because it was registered onto my Wi-Fi network. I did not know that the last Google tablet that I tested out had actually transmitted to Google my password for my encrypted home network. And so I'm like, no, I didn't tell you to take my all my passwords and set it up there. So now I had to go through the house and reset passwords on everything. So it's not as though it's simple to simply say, well, any data that's on the iPad should be synced two ways between the desktop via Wi-Fi. I think that you really have to think through how you want to implement it. I think that Don's right. I think that Apple simply likes the idea that if we force this person to bring the iPad 18 inches away and actually plug it in, we can essentially make a lot of steps which would otherwise require us to put up a whole lot of alerts saying, excuse me, you haven't backed up your iPad in about 3 months. No, it's okay, but maybe like in about a week, you might want to. No pressure, just backing up. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I'll sync your podcast, I'll sync your podcast, but you know, at some point, maybe if you just simply force them to dock it and simply accept that every time you dock it, a lot of maintenance stuff is going to happen automatically that you don't have to know about or care about. I think that's actually a benefit for Apple and for the users.
So it's just a secure loop problem that's the real driver there.
Yeah, it also gives the iPad the opportunity to check in and say, has there been an OS update? I'm not sure that Apple would ever let you do an OS update over the air, and so that's another opportunity that they can use with tethering.
Last story of the day, then. Is was going to go back to Apple and do any work?
I think we see that around the same time we also saw news that Charlie Sheen and in public appearances saying, "Sure, I'd like to return to 2 and a Half Men sometime if they were open to that."
So we don't ever see was going back.
I'm probably going to say this in a clumsy fashion.
What's he got to offer?
Woz has been more of Woz has not been a hands-on engine. Excuse me, again, as promised, I'm saying this in a clumsy way. Woz has not been a hands-on engineer, or at least has not been publicly a hands-on engineer. When I say I don't know what role he would fulfill at Apple, I don't mean that he's without skill. I'm saying that he's that part of his life has been not as public as the Segway and Dancing with the Stars. And the other stuff. I think
he's
that
a nice bloke, though, isn't he? I mean, to be fair, that's enough, isn't it?
teach people to dance, okay?
Yeah. I want to come back to Apple. Okay, you're a nice bloke, and to be fair, he is. So you and that's that, I reckon.
Could you see Steve Jobs giving him a call and saying, "Look, Woz, I understand that you fancy coming back. What do you know about carbon fiber?" is he too far out of the market? I mean, he hasn't worked for Apple since 1987. He only collects dividend through shares and so on with Apple in terms of financial link to them. Isn't there a visionary element to it, though? I mean, you know, he had the vision to start off with. Yeah, or was it all Steve after he'd done the mechanics?
It'd be good for PR, though, whatever, wouldn't it? I mean, whatever. I mean, they've got enough cash to pay Woz whatever he wants. And whatever his contribution to Apple is, I mean, he was, you know, the co-founder. And it'd be great for PR, and you never know, he might have something nice to say.
I'll come back, but I want to book 50.
I'd like to correct myself. He has been very, very active in technology and education, and so he would be a very, very big asset in terms of making sure that public education, kindergarten through 12th grade here, kindergarten through high school here in the U.S., would understand exactly how to integrate the technology and how Apple can do a better job of assisting teachers in teaching and creating lesson plans through iPads and through MacBooks and through other mm-hmm. technology. He has actually been quite active with that. I also know that Mrs. Woz was also very, very very active at Apple in the education division. So I'm sorry when I said that I can't see where he would go, what role he would fulfill. It's because it's still 9 in the morning, and so we're basically.
No, I think what you're saying is he doesn't fit in the technology end of it. He fits in the association, the PR, the educational.
Well, to be honest, though, I think he'd be a PR disaster.
Before you carry on, Don, just to let you in on a secret, we're in a waiting list for an interview with Woz, so don't blow that for us, please, dude.
Woz was on the cruise with us on MacBania on the last cruise, so I actually got to meet him and say hello and that, so that's not a problem. But the thing is with Woz is that he's no longer in the Apple culture. He's of Apple old, and he says so himself that he's a very open person. If you ask Woz a question, he will answer you, and he will answer you directly. And this is probably where this quote about him possibly going back to Apple, someone has probably just asked him, "Ooh, would you ever go back to Apple if they asked you?" And he's just said, "Yeah, of course I would. You know, it'd be great. I'd love to go back and see you." But, you know, really, taking aside the technology, because he still is very much into the technology sphere, but I just don't think he's of that culture anymore. You know, Apple are very secretive now. Apple are very keep things close to the chest. I just don't think he'd enjoy that environment. I don't think he'd actually fit into that environment anymore, although I'm sure there's tons that he could actually contribute. But, you know, I think he probably would like to go there if they were ever to offer him, but I don't think they'd ever offer him a position back at Apple as a full-time employee again. Although he still has close ties with Apple, you know, so.
Be a hell of a party, wouldn't it?
Have you seen that signed by Woz website?
No.
It's great. There's even a video. So what it is, it's you send whatever you want, whatever it could be, a book or a dog bowl or whatever it is, to the address, and then Woz signs it and charges you $20 and ships it back. But I think it's signed by Woz.com.
It's
a video on him, a YouTube video, and it says, "I'm Woz and I'm signing this," and he signs it, and that's the end of it. It's bloody lovely. And you think, I don't know whether he's doing it tongue in cheek or, but you've got, check it out. It's worth, if you want to laugh, check it out. Signed by Woz.com.
Very good. A quick word from our sponsors, UK2.net. They are the people that keep us afloat. We've had a good conversation with them this week about the fact that we're now shooting video and we want to do a video podcast, and would they mind hosting the video? And they flinched a little bit. They've gone away to talk about it. But so far, they're still on board. Certainly, they're on board with the audio stuff, and they keep the audio stuff afloat. We really would be utterly and totally lost without UK2. Please support us by supporting them. If you're thinking about buying a domain, e-commerce, that kind of stuff, go to our website, bageltechnews.com, and when you get there, just scroll yourself down to the bottom, and you'll see a UK2.net click through. That's got a code on it as well that lets them know that we've sent you. And when you go through, then if you buy anything, we'll get the credit for it. We won't get any money for it, but we'll get the credit for it. There's also some good services at the moment that are available for you. If you use their co-location services, go through our link and go to the co-locations website. It's easy to the URL. It's easy enough to find when you get through. And you'll get a free iPad and a month's free membership because you came through us. And also, if you buy a VPS server from them, you'll get a month's free on the VPS as long as you use the offer code BagelTech. You can see there as well that Don McAllister has put a nice offer up for us as well. All of our listeners can get Don's screencasts online for 50% off for the first year. So again, go through the link, buy it off Don, and when you get to the end, put in the offer code BagelTech and you'll get your first year 50% off. Thank you ever so much, Don. It's very kind of you.
No problem.
Where can we get a hold? Oh, no, cool thingies. I've got cool thingies. Don, do you have a cool thingy for us?
Yes, I tell you what, I'll give you an iPad cool thingy. For the longest time now, I've been using Reader as my RSS reader application on the iPad. There's a great new one out called Mr. Reader, Mr. R-E-A-D-E-R this time. It's based on Google Reader. You know, it actually synchronizes with your Google Reader account, but it's really nice, very fast. It's very configurable. The thing with Reader, the original Reader application was that it's there's not much configuration you can actually do with it, but Mr. Reader is really nice, very configurable. You can move all the controls around. You can have your controls for moving through articles on the left-hand side, the right-hand side, down at the bottom. Really nice application to keep up to date with your RSS feeds. That's Mr. Reader.
Mr. Reader. Great. Price?
No idea.
Is it free or is it money?
I think it's money, but it's not expensive. It's. Right. I'll look
we'll
it
find,
up. While
we'll find that out and add it. Don't worry. Kyle, have you got one for us?
Yeah, I do. Actually, it's for people that are looking to an alternative for obviously Photoshop and for GIMP. And I've really liked playing with this. I haven't got deep into it, but it's called Seashore. And I put, well, I tried to put a link there in the chat room. Unfortunately, I won't. But it's a seashore.soundforge.net. And really what it is like Photoshop for free on the Mac. And it, to me, when I've been playing with it, it does a lot more effects. It goes a lot deeper than GIMP does, but it's also not very complicated either. It has a really nice looking interface to it. And I've enjoyed playing with it this week. It's seashore.sourceforge.net.
And it's free. Good pick, mate. We like free. Andy, do you have a cool thingy for us?
Yes, I'm sorry. I had to run upstairs to get it because I forgot we had things here. I was in Colorado hanging out with a friend, and he showed me this really, really cool bag that he bought for his iPad that turns out to be it was so cool that after seeing him, like, you know, playing with it for about 10 minutes, realized that, okay, let's see. If I order this right now, it can be waiting for me when I get home. This is the Osprey Veer shoulder bag by Osprey, Osprey. And it's just really the perfect size for an iPad. Not just an iPad, but you can easily get your iPad. You can get your keyboard in there. It's really nicely kitted out where it also has a magazine pouch in the back. Has a pouch here for bottled water. It has compartments here for pens, cables, stuff like that. It's also not really set up so that you're sort of hard limited to a certain thickness. You can actually sort of stretch it out and pack it full of, like, toss your camera in there, all other kinds of stuff like that. Nice shoulder bag. Also has a leg tie down, so if you're running through the airport, it won't be slapping against parts of your body you don't want it to slap against. It's really, really cool because not only just for the my usual, I just want to grab my iPad and my keyboard and do some writing at the coffee shop tasks, but also when I travel, I just need a tiny, tiny bag so I don't have to take my huge laptop bag when all I need to do is just carry a couple essential things. I mean, it's narrow enough that I can easily put I will be taking my laptop bag with me when I travel, but, you know, to get past the only two carry-on items limit, I can easily slip this into the magazine pouch of my laptop bag and sort of sneak aboard a second bag.
It's an Inatco handbag.
It's what was the line from the movie? It's not a purse. It's a satchel. Indiana Jones carried one. It's very, very manly. You can get it in the sissy colors if you want, but this is a very manly color. This color style is called panda, and there's no fiercer animal than the panda, is there?
Apparently, you can use the word valise. It's a valise, you ignoramus, is the thing that you want to say when they tell you. Or
that doesn't sound very manly at all.
No, it doesn't really. That's true. But then it's French, French aren't.
We get back into security. If you're secure in one's masculinity and you don't feel as though you have a deep, dark, shameful secret that's shameful to you to hide, again, what is the problem with the Republican lawmakers who, you know, that the more anti-gay they are in their legislation, you know that, oh, there's some self-loathing going on here. So for God's sakes, it's the perfect thing. You know, don't be such a square about it, for God's sake.
How much is it, mate?
$49.
Oh, that's very good.
Exactly.
I was expecting a one in front of that.
I'll sell you one for $149.
Thanks, mate. It's very kind.
Pounds especially, absolutely.
Yeah, good exchange rate at the minute, mate, for you. Well done. Good one. Will, have you got one for us?
I have. I've got a cat as well who's come to join me.
This isn't Swap Shop, dude.
I'm at home today. The cat's made me laugh yesterday. Well, after the break-in, the day before I took the puppy and I got this potted plant they absolutely destroyed, and then I got a rug that he destroyed. And they rang me up and they said, oh, they've made a hell of a mess of the place. And I was too embarrassed to say it was the dog the day before. Nothing to do with the masked gentleman. Anyway, what I got, it's sort of Mac and it's sort of not. If you've got an old G4 Power Mac, or you've got a Mac Mini G4 and you're finding it a little bit boring, or spare, if you download a new operating system called Morph, MORPHOS, Morph OS, you can run it on your legacy Mac. And it's very fast, and it boots in seconds. It's strange because when you put it in there on the desktop, it's got it has a separate partition called the RAM disk or RAM drive, I think it calls it. So I'm not too sure what it's up to make it so fast, but there's like it comes with 3D rendering software on there. It's limited, like the web browser's a bit pants, and there's no particularly good word processor or business suite. But as far as the graphics are concerned, it's amazing. There's like a Photoshop replacement on there that's free, works really well. The operating system is it does cost. You can use it for 30 minutes, and then it starts to slow down and tells you to reboot your computer. And I think it costs €99, and it's based on the old Amiga operating system. So it means that you can run any of the old Amiga software, and there's some good stuff on there as well. So that's my pick, Morph OS.
So this, you pay $99 for this OS?
Euros.
Euros, right.
Yeah.
And can you run Mac apps as well? Or
No, it's just a totally different operating system.
Yeah.
If you're running, say, Tiger...
It just loads natively on Macs.
Yeah, that's right, because I don't know why, but they've got it to work with the G4 processor. Only the G4. At the moment, it doesn't work on the PowerBook, but it does, as I say, work on the Mac Mini or the Power Mac G4. And it's really fast, and it's very beautiful, actually. It's got a butterfly as the logo, and the interface is called... Oh, old brain. God, I'll tell you what. I am getting close to 40. The old brain, it slows down, doesn't it?
It looks good.
It's ambient.
Can you see it?
Ambient.
Ambient. That's it. Thank you. Thank you, Don. Yes, ambient. And so it's a really nice graphical user interface. It's good. Even if you just be geeky and you want to, because I mean, who doesn't love, if you're a geek messing around with different operating systems, and you're a bit bored of messing around with the various variants of Linux, then give it a go. It's good. My recommendation.
That's a good pick, mate. I like that one. Good, very good. Made to fly, it says on the front, so it's built for speed.
It is fast. It's very fast. It boots in seconds. Boots in seconds. It does. It's great.
Very good. My pick of the my cool thingy is Fluid, which is a great little application that's free of charge that you can get for your Mac. And basically, you can take anything that you've got that operates on a website only, like Gmail or Facebook or something like that, and make an application icon for it to sit into your dock. I was passed this by a guy named Fred Zelders, who's one of the listeners in Europe, and he sent it through to me because he's created the live page on his dock so that he's got... the live feed, and he just clicks on it and it opens up as his instant application. So I sent him through the live PNG file so he can make it, and also he's made it as a little dock icon now, so it pops up. Fluid, it's at fluidapp.com, and it's free. Very, very quick, very, very easy to use.
Very fluid.
Very fluid, allegedly. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. McAllister?
You can find me over at screencastonline.com, where I do my weekly podcast. The blog is themacscreencastguy.com, and also you can find me on Twitter as Don McAllister.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. I need to pick your brains another time for doing screencast stuff, not to do it myself, but I want to do a review of some of the screencast software that's out there. So
yeah, sure, yeah. Just
help me get started.
Fire away.
Cheers, mate.
Cream of
the screen. Kyle, where can we get a hold of you?
Twitter is the easiest place. Twitter.com/ Kyle Swagger. Swagger with 1G.
Brilliant. Andy, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
If you can spell my last name, anotgo.com. If you can't spell my last name, cwob.com, the celestial waste of bandwidth.
And you'll be back again on the third Friday of next month?
Third Friday of the next month. I'll give you guys 4 weeks to reconsider.
No. You can come back any week you like, mate. If you're kicking around at 8 a.m. because you've wet the bed or something, come on. No problem at all, mate.
If I wet the bed, there's chances I'm going to need medical attention. So by all means, I'll have the camera on.
Yeah, that'd be great. What do I change your lower third to? Have a think on that one for next time.
Oh, so many good lines coming to mind right now.
We're already changing. I'm working on one for Don, but the problem is that McAllister takes up such a big amount. I was going to put Squadron Leader up there, but I haven't got the room.
Oh, good.
After last week's episode. And finally, Will, where can we grab you, mate?
Two at the moment. BritishMac.com, which is my normal one. But I'd also like to push PipeSmokerOfTheYear.com.
You're up for a gong. Go on, tell us more, mate.
Well, yeah.
This is a very competitive year, so that's no small achievement.
It's good. PipeSmokerOfTheYear.com. The last Pipe Smoker of the Year was Stephen Fry, and they did it. He used to be the Pipe Smoking Council, but smoking has become very unfashionable. And as a pipe smoker myself, I thought, wouldn't it be nice? They stopped Pipe Smoker of the Year because the smoking council disbanded or something. They went up in a puff of smoke, so I thought, right, okay, I'll grab this domain and do something with it. So I'm going to be launching for 2011, PipeSmokerOfTheYear.com. The website is not up yet. I don't think it's getting there though. So if you're a pipe smoker, do you smoke a pipe, anybody?
Nope. No, funny enough.
There was a deathly silence there, wasn't it?
Experimented in college, but you know, we all did.
So there it is, PipeSmokerOfTheYear.com.
Will people be allowed to nominate people for the award?
Yeah, it's going to be like, it's totally non-commercial or whatever. It'll just be like a voting thing. I think that's a good way to do it, that people will say nominate them, then we'll pick the best, whatever, six, and then people can vote on it.
You do realise that you've made yourself ineligible now. You can't win.
Well, I can, because I can pick myself, can't I?
Oh, okay. I was working on the honourable thing, but no.
No, we'll go for the... No.
Is that another bit of editing I've got to do?
Oh, no, that's not a swear word. That's not a swear word. You can't count that as one.
Well, let's put it this way. My parents would have slapped me for it, mate. So
my grandma used to say it.
Oh, easy, mate. Andy's sitting here watching his career slip away.
Oh, believe me, that ship sailed. Don't worry.
I might not be back in 4 weeks. Oh, dear. Right, well, before we get any further into, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back again next Friday, as normal, at 1 p.m. with the Mac Show live through the live channel. And you can get us on iTunes as well. If you've got a chance to leave us a review, please do go ahead and leave us a review, because we could do with a few of them just to boost the ratings a little bit. And thanks ever so much for being here. We'll be back again next week. Like I say, have a good weekend. Thanks for listening.
Enjoy your pipe.
So, Don, what do you reckon about a screencast on the old pipe smoking thing?
If you can do it on your desktop, yeah, that'd be easy.